Send a movie idea.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to The Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. Every episode, we can discuss as many of your film ideas as we like, but only one can be taken to the next stage, where all of its box office profits will be used to fund revolutionary hip surgery. He's this guy, he's this doctor in Eastern Europe who's really good at fixing hips, to bring Andy Murray back. I just want him back, John. Oh. I want him back. He's not even gone yet and I want him back. I'm Joel, a man who puts the core in freshly cut lawn tennis court, and across from me is John Harris, a man who used to live just metres away from the green lawns of Wimbledon, but refused to engage in the so-called sport, declaring it a silly game for men and women in tight shorts.
All of that's true, but now I'm immediately going to go back on it and say, yeah, not that we're a serious podcast, but fair play to Andy Murray. And if you don't like Andy Murray because his personality type isn't your
then
kind,
your
of
personality type is the one I don't
yeah.
want to like.
Just because he's got a dry sense of humour, you think he's not a sports personality. Anyway,
I've loved Andy Murray since day one. I'm a big Andy Murray fan.
I think
fan.
He's really funny. I think he's
the best. I love him so much. Oh, Andy.
I'm sorry, Andy.
Love tennis so much. It's great. But we're not here for tennis. You should listen to the Tennis Podcast for that. And they'll probably do a similar plug. They'll start talking about made-up films and they'll be like, hang on.
During the Australian Open.
Yeah. John, we're here to pitch films.
Yeah.
Do you want one from me?
No, I want one from me. This one's from this one's from Millie.
Oh, yeah.
John Harris Must Die.
Is that your script or is that a note you found under your pillow?
So for the record, Millie is my girlfriend.
Yeah. And she just shouts at you.
And I was like, oh, yeah.
She doesn't know about this podcast.
She's like, I was like, yeah, like the film John Tucker Must Die. And she was like, what?
what does she have in her hand when she said this? Which kind of
bread knife.
Oh, horrible way to go.
Yeah, the thing about a bread knife, because the bread knife is you're using for cutting bread. Surprise.
Yeah.
If you've got like a sourdough or something that's not got a lot of give to it, there's a lot of slipping around going, and I would say it's one of the... I bet you most finger cuts come from a bread knife.
Mm. Yeah, my sister cut the top of her finger off cutting a bagel when we were children. I don't think a bread knife is involved. I heard on another podcast recently an observation that was so closely aligned to my own real life. It was the most acutely brilliant piece of observational comedy ever about bread knives.
Okay.
That's it. No,
shout out the podcast. It was the tennis podcast.
I can't remember what podcast it was. It was the tennis podcast. They never talk about tennis on that podcast. That's not why I keep listening. The observation was that their parents' house, I feel like it might have been Nishikuma, their parents' house has no sharp knives in it because they've owned them forever.
Yeah.
And so the sharpest knife that can do any cutting they have is the bread knife, which they just use for everything.
Yeah.
So carve meat with a bread knife and stuff. My girlfriend's parents do the same thing. The only knife with any resistance is the bread knife.
Yeah.
I used to do hilarious jokes where I'd just rub their knives against my arteries. Not with them.
Classic.
Yeah, it's a classic gag, isn't it?
I would say I'm gonna go off on a limb and suggest that it was probably from the Off Menu podcast, and I think you might be right. The Christmas
Good
episode.
Pod.
It might be the Christmas.
Yeah, because that would make sense about the carving meat.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
We're not 100% sure on this, but if that's right, we've correctly credited it. If not, sue us.
John Harris Must Die.
Yeah.
I'd watch it.
Well, thanks. Does he die? John Tucker Must Die is about an adulterous man, and then they take it to the extreme.
He's a real player and a ladies' man. So we're gonna have to really change the the plot of the film to suit you.
Well, but then I could. They. The reason that you could be trying to kill me is for different reasons. I don't. It doesn't have
do
to.
Do
be
a list?
Yeah.
Do you want a list?
It doesn't have to.
Because we normally sort of record for about 40 minutes. So like, fit many more films in there. Yeah. So John Harris must. It's the must, isn't it? It's not like will die or could die.
Yeah.
I don't think. I assume John Tucker doesn't actually die. I think they just get revenge and publicly humiliate him, which for you is a fate worse than death.
I think, yeah, the idea of knowing that most people don't like me would be worse than death. Oh, yeah. That's bleak.
That's the bleakest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. Anyway, so I assume because we're like, you know, working on exaggerated stereotypes of people and stuff. So my death would be in some way neuroses based.
Yep. You like hand sanitize your, you dissolve your own skin with hand sanitizer.
Yeah. I'm in a lift.
And you're too awkward to tell someone about it.
I'm in a broken lift with strangers.
You just die.
I don't even kill myself. I literally just die.
You're in a broken... How about this? You're in a lift at a hospital full of doctors, right? And you're eating pork scratchings and you start choking on one, but you're too embarrassed to tell a doctor that you're choking on a pork scratching that you choked to death in the lift.
Don't mind me. Yeah, I can go for that.
Mm. Weird. That'd be a weird film to watch. Is it just you and the day building up? You buy the pork scratchings are like Chekhov's gun, right? You buy them at the start of the film.
Oh, lovely!
And then we never see them again until you choke on one of the.
No, I think every sequence ends with a shot of the pork scratchings.
Yeah, there's like bits where you almost forget them, and you go back to get them and stuff. And if you hadn't gone back to get the pork scratchings, you never would have died.
I love it.
This podcast is sponsored by pork scratchings. Mmm, delicious. Do you want one from me?
Yes, please.
So Jenny got in touch to say that. That really rubbish Stan and Ollie and Holmes and Watson suggestion from last week was really rubbish.
Oh, yeah.
That was my suggestion, I think. So, Stan and Ollie, but it's skateboarding slapstick.
Oh!
Like an Ollie!
Oh, yeah, I can go for that.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
I can go for that. Mm-hmm. Is it one of Laurel and Hardy skateboarding? I don't know which one's Stan and which one's Ollie.
Oh, mate!
Yeah, my Laurel and Hardy knowledge is
Stan
not good.
Laurel is the thin one.
Okay.
That's an all right way to identify them. That's how they identify themselves.
I think that's fine.
How
you
else
said
would you
he's the thin
else,
one as
how
opposed
else
to
you identify them.
And the other one's the larger one.
Yeah, so Stan and Ollie, so it's they basically invent skateboarding.
Oh, cool.
So for one of their films. So they have to, they're like removal men or something, and they have to get things from one place to another quickly. And they invent the skateboard. Like when Marty McFly invents the skateboard in the 50s.
Is that what happens?
He goes back in time,
yeah.
And there's like kids scooting on these weird scooters that are basically a skateboard with a stick attached to the front, and he breaks the stick off. He's like, kid, give me this! And he kicks the stick off and he skates around.
Oh, he's so cool.
And I get a big erection.
One of your favourite films, if not the, right?
Yeah, it probably is, yeah.
I'm looking forward to the slapstick involved with, I assume that they have to transport a large pane of glass across a road while skateboarding, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Of course.
Like in those days,
and then the classic visual gag there, right, is that they're both on a skateboard,
yeah,
with a pane of glass between them,
yeah,
and something comes down the road and it just passes through them. They never pick the pane of glass up.
Wait, what?
So you think they've got a pane of glass in their hands?
They're
at either end of the pane of glass. They're skating across the road and someone's cycling down. You're like, oh no, they're going to hit the pane of glass, and they cycle right through. And the guys are like, oh, we left the bloody pane of glass back the other side of the road.
Lovely.
That's good, isn't
That's
it?
That's good, I like
it's
it.
It's a good visual gag.
Have you
it
seen...
It reminds me of a sketch I once did at a Christian summer camp. Anyway, what were you going to say? Listen to the end for the story of the Christian summer camp.
Great tease. It just, you know, it would be good because in those days, like from like the, you know, Chaplin days all the way to there.
Buster the Keaton, talkies. Was he another one of the big guys?
Buster Keaton is the man. And
yeah.
I'd forgotten his name for a second there and I was really...
Big Keats.
I was really disappointed because... People talk about Chaplin, but Keaton's the guy.
Yeah.
That's
what you're saying. Fuck Chaplin?
That's exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
That's the internet, isn't it? Yeah. I just said Keaton's the man, and now you're like, John Harris says, fuck Chaplin. Yeah, so, and you know that it would all be like practically made effects, even if it's people pretending to hold a pane of glass.
Yeah.
And I would love it.
I love practical effects.
Have you seen...
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that.
The Buster Keaton one where the house falls on.
Oh, amazing.
And then Steve McQueen remade it for some reason.
Yeah.
Weird. Anyway.
Which Steve McQueen?
The modern director.
Not the guy who...
Not the great escape.
Jumped over a fence on a motorbike.
No. Well, as far
I'd
as
like
I know...
I'd see Steve McQueen recreate that.
I'm surprised that you haven't pitched that as a thing, is is direct British director recreates
The Great Escape.
The Great Escape.
Hey, tune in next week.
On the subject of skateboarding, actually.
Good.
Stu has these two suggestions.
Yep.
Tony Hawk's pro Skateful Hate.
That's very good.
And Matt Hoffman's pro BMX Men. I don't remember Matt Hoffman's pro BMX. Oh, Joel's excited.
That's hit a right little neuron in my brain of childhood right there. Matt Hoffman's pro BMX was better than Tony Hawk's pro skater.
What?
Excuse me? Mic drop. Now, maybe that's because I preferred BMXs. But I love Matt Hoffman's BMX.
Okay.
Dave Mirra was another one. He was pretty big on the BMX scene. He had his own game, but I only had that as a demo, whereas I owned the full version of Matt Hoffman's BMX. I love the Tony Hawk games, though.
Yeah?
I used to think I was pretty good at skateboarding. I could grind for 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you used to play them?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Is it 3 on the GameCube? I think that was my sweet spot.
No, 4.
Was it 4 in the GameCube? Yeah.
I love that one. And there were cheat codes where you could be Boba Fett.
Yes.
Oh,
and also,
I still remember the cheat code, right? The cheat code you put in was watch me explode, and you unlocked it everything.
Unlocked it.
I'm speaking like I would have done when I owned the game. You unlock everything, and one of them was a big Boba Fett, mate. And you had a jetpack.
Yeah.
It made it very easy.
So, yeah.
You never see a hole pipe.
Well, you do. They're called pipes.
No,
Joel, you've just moved house recently. The plumbers aren't calling them hole pipes. They're just calling them pipes.
Yeah, I did ask a lot. They're like, see this hole pipe? Can I skateboard in it? No, it's really small.
Is any of the water transported by half pipe?
If I cut it in half, will Tony Hawk come around? No, again, it's still really small. Yeah, and they just take all my money. Oh, yeah, well, they will. Yeah, we've made them skateboard pipes.
The Hateful Eight is about a bunch of, like, cowboys and bandits locked in a house in...
I don't like The Hateful Eight.
There's a big twist in the middle of it where an actor who you're not expecting, like, not a staple Tarantino actor just appears.
It's not even in the middle of it, isn't it? How it ends?
Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah, but he's there for, like, the last, like, half hour. But it is like a 4-hour film, so that is the end.
But what's really annoying, are we talking about the same twist? Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen The Hateful Eight and plan on doing it, don't. But if you are planning on doing it, don't listen to this bit. When they come out of the floor.
Yeah.
I thought that's like the very end. They kill everyone.
There's a bit of time. Maybe
what's really annoying about that is that you don't know about them.
Yeah. But
they're not mentioned previously in the film.
No, it's like a surprise.
It's so rubbish. That is rubbish, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, oh, by the way, they were in the cellar. These guys were in the cellar of this building the whole time.
I can't think of the actor's name for the life of me.
Channing Tatum.
Channing
Tatum.
What's
wrong with you today?
Channing Tatum appears out of the floor.
You've got Buster Keaton and Channing Tatum.
The biggest.
You studied film.
That was weeks 1 and 2. Yeah. And then, I think there's a lot more for us to go on off of pro BMX men.
Yeah.
What current X-Man would be the best at BMX?
Why not?
Because he doesn't have control of his legs.
Yeah, but what can he control? How does he move around in that chair? With his mind?
Yeah.
Yeah, apply that to a fucking BMX, mate.
That's like a... Yeah. I don't know how his Magneto powers
would
work.
Magneto would be great because they're made of metal, so he could just jump a million feet in the air.
That's not how it works.
Why is that not how it works? He could sit on it and then make it lift up. Couldn't he? Of course he could. And then just keep doing backflips until he wins the X Games. And he keeps looking down and going, have I won the X Games yet? Do another backflip. Have I won the X Games yet? The X-Men games.
I've just got an image in my head of him just like casually sitting on a BMX
and then just
and
flying
then immediately
up.
Rocketing like 4 miles into the air.
Yeah, that's what I meant. The reason you've got that image is because that's exactly what I meant. Of course, can't he do that? He can manipulate metals to do anything.
Yeah, but I don't know. I feel like his interference with it would affect it. But you're right. Why does he ever travel in planes or anything? He should just BMX everywhere.
Just BMX everywhere. That'd be so cool. Imagine if Cillian McKellen just skidded up every time he was on the scene. I'd love that. That would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably the correct answer, isn't it?
Wolverine bad, punctures.
And then the rest of them, just different varying levels of BMX skill.
Yeah.
What about this one from Michael? Rob's in the Hood. Rob Lowe and Rob Schneider star in this zany comedy about two brothers that try and steal a billionaire's prize painting. The plan is to sell it back to him in an auction with the money raised going to charity. This is quite an involved concept. Mm. I like it.
Yeah, that is good. They've obviously got a lot of time on their hands.
Hey, leave Michael alone. He's a wonderful contributor to this podcast. And if you're listening and you've not been a contributor, then shame
Lazy.
On you.
Slackers.
Shame on you.
Slackers. Yeah, think you can do better?
Yeah, so Rob Lowe and Rob Schneider. Excellent combo.
Yeah, what a combo.
Although, like, is Rob Schneider's been like recently really unwoke, so let's not call him excellent.
Was he ever woke?
Yeah, true. Rob's in the hood, so he's got the. I guess the thing is, he's got two famous Robs, and then they're doing the Robin Hood kind of thing.
Yeah, that's good. That's selling. Good. But they're super rich. They could just donate some of their money and, you know,
good
be done with it. Point. So they lose all their money because of this person.
Rob Beckett and Robbie Williams.
They're both skint, famously skint. When I think about Robbie Williams and money always comes to my mind because I remember he got a record deal once.
Yeah, this is amazing.
And he came out of the room and stared directly into the news camera and said, I'm rich beyond my wildest dreams. I really rate that.
And people took it like seriously.
I really respect that. It was an £80 million record deal, I think.
Yeah.
I really respect it.
Yeah.
What's he going to do? Oh, bloody, only offered me a couple of quid. You're Robbie Williams. It was like the height of his fame. And then he released Escapology. What an album. Come on.
Is that? Yeah, that's a great album.
Oh, come on. Come undone.
Oh, that's not on that, is it? Oh, God, who cares?
Don't know fucking Robbie, mate.
My only issue with this plan, Michael,
would
is...
Would you like to see Robbie Williams live?
I don't think I'd say
if I said, John, I've got two tickets to Robbie live.
How much are we saying, though? Because I'd imagine he's charging triple... Yeah, I'd go.
I've stolen them.
Would you tell me that you've stolen them? Because I might feel a bit bad.
I'd turn to you during Angels and I'd say...
These tickets...
These are nicked.
From children.
I'd nick these from children and you go, I don't give a...
I'm loving
you
Angels.
You just go, bah, bah, da, da, bah, da. You'd sing over it pretending you hadn't heard it.
That is how I deal with any uncomfortable situation.
You sing that exact eight bars from Angels.
Yeah.
Every time it's so awkward. Yeah. When you were choking on that pork scratching.
I was
Scottish. Oh, you're just singing Angels. You must have had throat surgery.
Right. Michael, the issue I have with this is why would you... If you've stolen something from someone, you can't sell it back to them in auction.
You can't. You can't. That's the one person on earth you can't sell it back to is the person you stole it from. Especially when it's so specific. It's not like you stole their laptop, wiped it, and then were like, hey, just so happens I've got a similar laptop going cheap. It was a very specific art piece.
Yeah. Mm. So send us another idea, Michael, yeah. And we'll be... Yeah. B minus. Hopefully you can get an A next time.
Be better, Michael. Be better.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Do you want one from me?
Yeah.
This one's from Matt. Tell me why I don't like whatever happened to Monday.
Wait, what? It's like a beat poem.
There's a new Netflix film called Whatever Happened to Monday.
Oh, okay.
It stars Noomi Rapace. It stars her 7 times. I've seen the film.
And?
It's shit. More on that in a second. Tell me why I don't like Mondays. There's a song by the Boomtown Rats.
I'm here now.
All Matt said was, the Boomtown Rats soundtrack, a confusing vision of the future.
Okay.
So
tell me about
Whatever
Monday.
Happened to Monday.
Yeah.
So it's a dystopian future. There's like a new, the earth is overpopulated, so they go one child policy.
Classic.
Absolute classic solution, right? One child policy. And they're really strict on it, and there's border patrols, and they scan you, and like if you've got a sibling, you get taken away and cryogenically frozen.
Okay, cool.
And the idea is you'll be thawed out when the Earth's population's reduced. It's confusing. That's a confusing premise, right?
Yeah.
Willem Dafoe has 7 kids in the past.
God.
His wife, who must die in childbirth, I assume.
Textbook never really Defoe. Mentioned.
Has 7 children. Right. And he has them at a hospital where they're not going
to. It would have been weird if she'd not had 7 children after you just said Willem Dafoe. Although, different parents. I apologise. Go back.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. This is 2073. Sorry. Things have moved on from the crazy world of 2019 where we've all got one parent. And he keeps them a secret. And he names them. They're all identical because they're all played by Noomi Rapace. And he names them all after a day of the week. And they can only leave the house on that day of the week. And that's how they live their life. And so they're never known to be a sibling because they all pretend to be one person.
Mm.
It's an interesting setup.
Yeah.
It's a really terrible film.
Yeah, the concept.
I'd recommend watching it.
Okay.
I'd say, you know, in a former life we used to do a thing about bad films.
Yeah.
This would like...
Oh, really? That bad?
I think it could be that bad.
Wow. She's... Because the cast involves great.
Yeah, there's some other good people. Glenn Close is in it.
Ah.
I know, right? Mm. There's really good people in it, but it's really bad.
Okay.
Well, but it might have been better if the Boomtown Rats were all over the soundtrack.
Yeah, so how does this work? Is it just...
So Monday disappears.
Yeah.
That's the idea. Whatever happened to Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it turns out that it was the Boomtown Rats who kidnapped her.
Absolutely.
Because they don't like Monday.
They're all about Mondays. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
The Rolling Stones turned up for Ruby Tuesday. Has anyone ever written a song about Wednesday? Friday, I'm in love.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday. Which
Easy
is that
like
about?
A Sunday morning.
Easy like Sunday morning. Thursday.
Thursday. Probably. I mean, there must be pop songs for every day of the week because there must have been some point.
Is there a pop song for Shrove Tuesday?
Yeah.
Well, is there really?
Yeah.
Is it that Making Banana Pancakes song by Jack Johnson?
That's the one. Pretend like it's Shrove Tuesday now. Yeah, okay. I'm aboard. A bad film, but just re-soundtracked.
Yeah. Re-soundtracking films. And I'm quite into that as a suggestion. If people want to suggest films they've seen. But they were watching it thinking, this needs more Geldof. Specifically, I want suggestions of Geldof.
Yeah. Bob Geldof, soundtracking other films.
Should we do our ideas?
Nope. No, let's have a... I've got a couple. I've got a couple I really want to do quickly.
Do quick fire.
Jason, La La Land Before Time.
Very good. Dancing Dinosaurs, next.
Lizzie, Mary Queen of Bots. We love Mary Queen of Scots.
It's such an easy rhyming word, isn't it?
She harnesses the power of the dark web for personal gain. So she must live now. Mary Queen of Bots. Yeah. It's like, because obviously like all the bot accounts. Like,
She gets a
politics.
Massive following of bot accounts.
So she's a hacker.
Good.
She's a hacker using bots to overthrow the government because she is technically in line for the throne if they went back to the kind of
very good
royal system.
Very good. The royal system.
Yeah, what would you call it? Back to monarchy.
Monarchy, yeah. You forgot. Your brain's not working today.
I don't know words.
That's good. Is that all the quick fire?
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad we squoze those in. Right. Do you want one from me?
Yeah.
Okay. This hasn't got a name, but it's pretty high concept stuff.
Wow.
Right. So there's a family, right? Imagine this family, and they've moved from house to house, and they've only ever lived in haunted houses. Everywhere they've gone, all over the world, it's haunted.
Yeah.
Here's the catch. They've gotten so used to it, they love it. They move into a new house that isn't haunted and they fucking hate it. So you know the classic trope where someone moves into a haunted house and they, you know, they can't sleep. That's the least of their problems generally is they can't sleep. But things start happening in the night. Well, this family, that's what they like. So when they move into this new house and it's silent, there's not doors banging in the night, there's no sort of paranormal activity. They hate it, John. They really hate it. They can't exist in this world. So they start inviting people over with unfinished business, killing them in the hope that they'll haunt the house.
Oh, I like that.
How about that?
I'm a big fan.
So yeah, they've always moved. They always look online for haunted houses.
Yeah.
And buy them when they move. And then they bought this one. Maybe it was falsely advertised as being haunted. And they move in. And it's just so calm and placid and they hate it. You know? There's no like, they don't like push the shower mirror and there's someone behind them. That never happens. Every time they're always doing it. They're always doing the things that you would do that would normally in a horror film. Like, they're always pulling the shower curtain back really quickly. There's never anything there.
They just look sad.
And they just can't sleep because it's so quiet and peaceful.
They're like drawing ghost faces into the mirrors.
Yeah,
just to make
they're writing sleep. Messages on the mirror and in the condensation, but they know it's them.
Rent-a-ghost is a thing. That was all. I just thought that's what
that's a thing. Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
I was thinking also they could, the family, what they'd do is they'd like put online that they're just actually trying to help people out. So they'd be like, have you got any unfinished business?
Oh, very good.
We're a charity
very
set
good.
Up
very
to just
good.
Help
very
people
good.
With unfinished business.
Yeah.
But the problem is like the first bunch of people that they do, it's like they just need to like,
loft conversion isn't done.
Yeah, or like, you know, they forgot to get a lemon when they went shopping.
Yeah.
So the business is finished really quickly, so the ghosts don't stay for very long.
Yeah.
If your unfinished business was your shopping, you'd never be able to do it.
Interesting. You could probably do it online.
Yeah, probably.
Ghosts get online?
It's great. Who knows? Ghosts on haunted computers and stuff is definitely the next thing, isn't it? They must have
in
done
film
it already. Yeah, they
in
must
the real
have
world.
In the well.
Yeah, I think they must have done it.
All right, well, here's an equally high concept idea from me. Shrek Smashina. Yeah?
Well, yeah, I know, but have you just got the name? Or have you figured out what's going to happen there?
So, Lord Farquaad.
Yes. I can see it. They've got similar jawlines.
He invites Fiona over,
mm-hmm.
and she has to work out whether Shrek is a robot or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether he's an ogre or not.
Yeah.
And the twist is she's an ogre.
Yeah.
And we're all ogres.
Oh, everyone's an ogre. Isn't that kind of what happens at the end of Shrek?
I think you described Shrek.
Okay, I'm just going to read.
It's also some sort of donkey present. Here's a wild idea. How about a talking donkey voiced by Eddie Murphy?
Okay. And in the morning, he's making waffles.
Hey, I've got two words for you.
Yeah?
Smash mouth. It's actually one word.
Oh, Smash Mouth are going to... They're not just going to have one song in this film.
No.
They'll be soundtracking the whole thing.
That's quite impressive, isn't it?
What, the fact they just got one song in that film, yet somehow they're like eternally associated
with it? Yeah.
It is pretty impressive. Mm. Because at the end of that film, there's I'm a Believer by the Monkees, yeah. as performed
no one cares about that.
By Eddie Murphy, I believe.
Eddie Murphy, yeah. The dragon's there.
Yeah, which
yeah,
is...
the pigs do have a great turn.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Is that the film that ends with the big karaoke session at the end?
I think so. Because two's the wedding? No.
I think
yes. Or is three the wedding?
At the time, I had that on DVD and I think... Or video, maybe. No, maybe DVD. Anyway, but I know that I definitely watched it so many times I knew that entire karaoke sequence off by heart.
Yeah. What, and you'd like be like, now you'd be conducting it. Now the pigs. Now the gingerbread man.
Yeah, all of that. So yeah. Anyway,
that's
so
a good idea, mate.
Shrek's massive.
Yeah. If anyone out there's got a name for my haunted house film suggestion, that'd be great.
Genuinely, we are the bucket of film ideas is so empty.
Yeah, I think there might be a hole in it.
Yeah.
Dear Liza.
So please, if you're listening and haven't done one before, or if you have done one before and you know, even if we were mean, I'm sorry now, and we'll be less mean next time, maybe. But please send
us
some
any promises.
Ideas.
If you've got thick skin, send them in.
That's the new catchphrase.
Yeah, it's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, we know it's the end of the show, because there is a knock, knock, knock at the studio door, and entering the room is... it's Stan and Laurel, and they seem to be carrying some sort of big pane of glass between them. Whoa! That was me. That was them falling over in a slapstick way. I went to a Christian camp.
Yeah.
There's a lot. This is a rich seam, right? I used to occasionally go to a Christian camp in the summer.
Were you raised religious?
My grandparents were religious, but here's the thing.
Oh, sorry.
It was sold to me by a guy at school. He was like, I go to this really cool camp every summer.
Yeah.
They do loads of cool activities. It's great. He didn't mention the religious stuff once. And so I went there. Have I told you about this before?
No, but I think I had a similar thing as a kid. It was
really?
River camp. And it sounds like a dance.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
It was river camp. And I was raised as a Roman Catholic. And this was like Church of England. So I was being a bit of a rebel.
Wow.
Anyway, so
you crazy. Anyway, and that's by the by. But they snuck a lot of religion in there without me really knowing about it. Anyway, we were all in dorms. And every night for the week, there was like an ensemble show. And you could say your dorm wanted to do a show, or you could do like an individual sketch. Every single night, like 7 o'clock for an hour or so, they relied on everyone to provide the entertainment. It's quite a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
There'd be like a couple of hours. Don't get me wrong, you did a lot of fucking great activities in the day.
Good.
A lot of sport, a lot of fun.
Okay, cool.
But, you know, and then there'd be your meal times and a bit of religion. But for one ensemble piece, remember this is relating to the invisible pane of glass, right? I don't know where this sketch comes from, so I'm going to pretend we invented it.
Good.
But there's a man squatting on stage, just squatting, right?
Yeah.
Reading a newspaper, and he's just squatting there, hovering. And another man walks on stage, and he goes, this is going to be all men, because it was all male dorms, obviously. This is Christian camp. We barely spoke to the women. Another guy goes on stage. He's like, hey, buddy, what are you doing there? And the guy's like, I'm just hanging out on an invisible bench. And the guy's like, is there room enough for me there? And the guy's like, yeah, of course. And so the other guy goes and squats down. and he's next to him, just starts eating an apple or whatever. Next guy comes out, he's like, "You guys, what are you doing? Just hovering there." And they're like, "We're not hovering here. We're on the invisible bench." And the guy's like, "Oh yeah, my legs really ache. Could I take a load off with you for a bit?" And then he goes and sits down with him as well. And they're like, "Sure, there's so much room on this bench." And then the fourth guy comes out. He's like, "Guys, what are you doing there? Oh, just hovering here, you know." And they're like, "We're sat on the invisible bench." And that guy's like, "No, you're not. I moved it over there yesterday." And they all fall over.
That's quite good.
It's a good sketch, right? And we invented that sketch. And that I think that's the moment comedy was born.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.